and I'm still Wanda, recovering compulsive overeater. And I wanted to make a few announcements. We're going to have another segment of the steps, and then we're going to break for lunch about 11:45. And that will give us a little over an hour to eat and get cleaned up in the kitchen and, you know, do what we need to do so that we can come back here at 1 o'clock. So that's kind of the schedule for today. We must be out of this room. Is it 4 o'clock? It's 4 o'clock. So we're going to close the workshop at 3:30 so that we can get everything put back and be out of this room and the door locked at 4 o'clock. So that's our schedule. So, and for those of you who need to just kind of come and go to the bathroom or whatever to get water, we have water back there and some coffee. Just feel free to move around if needed. And I wanted to mention that Nita has some literature back there, some OA literature. She also has three of the AA big books. If anybody wants one of those, you've got to go. You've got to hurry. So, and that's what Pat is referring to a lot, so you might want to get it before the next segment. But anyway, she only has three left, but we also have for sale the Overeaters Anonymous 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. We have some of those for sale. We also have for sale the Overeaters Anonymous for today. This is the meditation book for today. We have several of those, don't we, Nita? And we also have the Voices of Recovery, which is our Overeaters Anonymous meditation book. So all of those Nita has, they're for sale. If you want to get one, probably you need to go ahead and do it pretty soon because we didn't bring a whole lot, but we do have quite a few of the recovery meditation books. So with having said that, anybody have any questions about the schedule or anything? Okay. I'm going to turn it back over to Pat.
All right.
Okay, back to step two. In the big book, page 17, at the back of that, it says, it's the end of page 17. I wanted to read to you because I kind of... It says, an addict in his cups is an unlovely creature. Our struggles with them are variously strenuous, comic, and tragic. One poor chap committed suicide in my home. He could not or would not see our way of life, which is not what I'm trying to read. It's the next chapter. There is, however, a vast amount of it all. I suppose some would be shocked at our seemingly worldliness and levity. But just underneath, there is a deadly earnestness. Faith has to work in and through us 24 hours a day, or we perish. Now, I'm going to back up because on the bottom page 14 says something that was always very important to me. It says, my friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all of our affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. For faith without works is dead, he said, and how appallingly true for the alcoholic, for the addict. For if an addict fails to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life, through work and self-sacrifice for others, we could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, or if he uses his drug of choice, he would surely die. It has to be like this for us, because if you're an addict like I was an addict, even though I haven't had a drink in over 40 years, I've used other substances, especially in the beginning, to give me that sense of ease and comfort. Now, back to step two. I believe that for myself, I recreated myself under the influence of my addictions, which was all of a sudden I lived in panic and terror, scared to death somebody was going to find out. I didn't even know myself. I've stood in front of the mirror many times and asked myself, what is happening to you? So I have lots of things that I have used, and I listed them, but I started off with smoked my first cigarette, as I told you, then alcohol, then included drugs, and then in my food addiction, I've also been compulsively overeating. I've also been anorexic. When I start trying to not eat, then I can go too far the other direction. Mm-hmm. Also, finally developed bulimia. Mm. Now, all I can tell you is that from all of these addictions that I've mentioned so far today, today I'm free of that. Now, I had stopped caffeine for about 3 years, and recently I've gone back to having 2 cups of coffee every morning. But I haven't gone back to having 20. I'm doing a little bit of moderation in a lot of those things. Now, step 2 says that this power that is greater than us, the principle, incidentally, that we find in step 1 is honesty. The principle that we find in step 2 is hope. And as I said a while ago, hope turns into faith. Faith turns into trust. So when we look at steps 1, 2, and 3, and I'm probably going to have about enough time to get us to step 3 and finish that off. And then afterwards, I don't have as many notes on 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. They're more facts than some of my stuff. So that's probably what you want anyway. How do I get from the problem over to the solution is by admitting my truth, telling myself the truth about who I am. I have to get free of that self-hatred. In order to do that, I have to love God with all my heart, mind, and soul. I came here, as I told you, trying to do that. I still try to do it on a daily basis. So self-will is what was my self-destruction in step 1. I was going to do it my way. This is my life. It is my business. I'll do it like I want to. Now, that had to change for me. So in step 2, I found that power that is greater than me and began to attempt to turn my life and my will over to the care of God on a daily basis. And I say that because it is my truth. I do not start my day without having my prayer time in the morning. I fixed myself up a little prayer chair. My books sit right beside my chair. I do that every day. And in the 40 years that I've been here, there may be 3 to 5 days that I didn't do it, that I had some kind of an emergency or something. I do not want to, and my sponsor taught me this, face my day without having turning me over to the care of God as my understanding. So, very important. A lot of people say, well, I have to go to work, you know, and I have to take off. Well, I had to do all those things, too. I worked at West Texas Medical Center and had to be on the job at 7 o'clock, lived in Anson. My sponsor told me if you expect God to live with you all day, you need to spend your first hour with God. And I said, when the kids get up and they start interrupting and this and that and other, I had 2 daughters, she said, why don't you get out of the house, take a walk. Every morning I walked all the way out to Anson General Hospital, which is the city I lived in, and I walked back. And it didn't make a difference if it was cold or if the wind was blowing, or, I mean, unless it was just excruciating. I did that because I had to get my mind settled out. It was like, you know, frantic is where I live. So I did that. I think that it's important for us to do whatever we have to do that works for us. But in order to work the steps, I had to get out and find some peace. And little by slow, things begin to change. It was not anything that I did, except I followed directions of my sponsor. How many of you have a sponsor? If you don't have one, get one more than likely before you leave today. So, as I said, we're spiritual beings. I love to talk about being because there was a man that meant so much to me when I was the head of the speaker committee in the conference that we have in August. I invited him here. He was going to be here for the fourth time, but he died. Chuck C. And he was always saying, in him we live and move and have our being. And he said it just like that every time. I said to my sponsor, why does he do that? Being, what does that mean? And I finally got it one day. I be who and where I am today. And if I keep doing what they told me to do, keep heading in this direction, I'll ing later. I have to understand things for me, and that's as simple as I can do that. Okay. In step three, we're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to let this idiot run my life, self-will, or am I going to ask God to run it? Now, in this, because of I be who I am now and I am later, there's days I don't like myself, you know. I was sharing with some of the girls a while ago, I thought, you know, I think I shared it with all of you. Yesterday, I thought, why do I keep saying I'll keep doing this? You know, I'm tired of doing it. And finally, I told Joan, I said, well, I'll need a board, and thankfully I brought this. I started not, but that wouldn't have near covered what I'm going to try to put up there, and I kind of like to use it a bit, you know, so I'm glad about this. But I got to reading over this, and you know, God started teaching me some new stuff. I started making new notes and putting that in. By repeating these acts, they become habitual. And the help rendered is natural. You just keep on doing it and doing it and doing it. Now, the human being has an ego. And that ego is God out, in my case. My ego and my addictions, I had extreme fear that turned into terror. I was scared to do anything. So I lived in a world of insanity. After I got over here to step two, and it was little by slow, trust me, and step three, I made the decision that I wanted to follow God's guidance and direction. And my will had always been my problem. My will is my thinking. Our lives is the sum total of our actions. So I was the one that had to change. I found out I was the problem. So I surrendered who I am, what I am, to the care of God as I understand it. New actions will create a new life. If you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to keep getting what you always got. Now, all of you that have been in the program for a while have heard those things, and you know it's true. So, if I can ask God to help me to change, to begin to become the person that I was created to be, I don't think God... You know, sometimes I wonder about that, though. Created me to be a falling down drunk and this and that and other, but then as I began to read and understand some things, I believe today that nothing happens in God's world by mistake. So what would be the purpose of me doing that? Well, to do what I do today, but sometimes I just get frustrated. You know, I hope and pray if there's just one person in here today that can really get the deep-seated desire to make that change in your life with the power that lives in you, the God of your understanding, and begin to take some new actions. So, let me see. I ask God in the morning to direct my thinking and my actions. I ask Him also to remind me that I am a spiritual being and a human being, and I am perfectly imperfect. And I'm not going to find that perfection as long as I live in this body. Mm. But I'm willing to be willing, and that is the foundation for change. God eases out the ego. The ego eased God out. Not really, but in my thinking it did. Mm. But God begins to ease that out. So, and that's through practice of new actions. Intimacy. Mm. We say, into me, I see. Now, how do I do that? By seeing you. What I'm looking at, I'm looking with. Both good and bad. You know, I told you a while ago that I had a little fear of Wanda because she was such a lady. You know, I always wanted to be a lady. When I got back from treatment at 16 years sober, now I didn't drink through that. As I told you, I'd rather have killed myself. But when I got back from treatment, it was 16 years since the last drink I had taken when I landed at the airport. Tinny picked me up at the airport. Next night was the birthday night. And the man that introduced me called me a lady. And when I got to the podium, I couldn't even talk because I was crying. First time I'd ever been called a lady. I always wanted to be a lady, but I played tough because I was scared. Today, I don't have to be tough. In certain situations, I might. If I do, I can still whip it up. All right. When I see something in you that I admire, if I emulate that, I will have it. If I see something in you that I don't admire, if I'm pointing at you, I'm pointing at me because I got two. So we're all in this together. And to learn to love God is, to me, what we're all trying to do. Personality chart. Self-will. Filled with fear. Fear being false emotions appearing real. The longer I lived in this, the more fearful I became. Totally self-centered. This side of the chart was overdeveloped. Resentment, overdeveloped. Self-resentment to the nth degree. Fear kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. My pride and my sex fantasies, you know. Always dreaming one of these days. Somebody's going to show up. Mm. And we're just going to get on that horse and ride off in the wild blue yonder. And then he's going to change everything about me. Y'all ever say that? Never happened for me. But over here, if these are overdeveloped, then these would be underdeveloped. Now, if we're both spiritual, this being spiritual, this being human, these are overdeveloped, these are underdeveloped. Now, as these overdevelop, then I have less and less and less of this, or at least less and less and less of this presents itself. So, whenever we get in balance, these are our defects of character. These are God's characteristics, and whenever we get into turning our life and our will over to the care of God, these begin to diminish. They start getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. you know, as I go over these character defects that I have enjoyed over the years, you know, I would have to say, even though I'm my worst critic, that I'm better at being self-centered. Now, why do you think that is?
It's the way we're made.
Pardon?
It's the way we're made.
Well,
you're not perfect.
You know what got me from being as self-centered as I used to be? My sponsor would call me. She'd say, get on your horse and ride. And I'd say, where are we going? It doesn't make any difference. We got a drunk down over here. We've got to go check on him. Well, who is it? I was fixing to go to the laundry. Get on your horse and ride. It doesn't make a damn who it is. She's sick and she needs our help. So I'd get in the car and here I'd go. Hated to go to the laundry. I was thinking about getting drunk because every time I had to go to the laundry, you know, had to go to the laundromat and had to gather up all those clothes, go over there and sit, didn't want to be there. And finally my sponsor said, they have a laundry down here at so-and-so. If you'll bring your laundry, they'll wash them and fold them, and all you got to do is go back and pick them up. So I started doing that. There's always an easier, softer way, and she helped me find it. And it probably saved my life. But she was the kind of person that she did not take no for an answer. I said, but I need to go to the laundry. What's most important, this woman's life or the laundry? Now, I'm going to share this case with you because it taught me so much. We got to that woman's house, and that was the sickest woman I have ever seen. And some of you sitting in this room has heard me talk about this before. But I watched my sponsor. We walked in and the smell would absolutely knock you over. Alcoholic women are, it's a little different than it is. You know, you may go to a compulsive overeater's house and they may have dirty dishes everywhere and they've eaten food. You know, I've done that too. But this woman had not bothered or wasn't able to get up and go to the restroom, and she'd been sitting in that chair drinking for at least a week. There were wine bottles everywhere, cigarette butts everywhere. And, you know, there's certain things that we have to do that she couldn't get up and go to the bathroom to do. And it was absolutely, I was backed up against the wall like, oh my God. My sponsor went up to that woman and put her arm around her. And she said, we came to help you. We care about you. Let us help you. And we had to call an ambulance. Here she is, put her arm around her everything. And me's back there, and I thought, oh my God, how can she do that? I hope I don't ever have to do that. She showed me what love was like. And I always refer to that because I go back to thinking, you know, and I've been on some pretty tough cases myself. Both OA and AA. We had one woman that went to her house, and her house was covered, you know, with pieces of food and stinking and hadn't washed dishes and locked the door. We had to call the police. I thought she was dead in there. She was so ashamed that she would not open the door. That's an extreme case. But we have them in both, in every addiction. So. You know, we have them sometimes where we're going to go there. Okay, but anyway, we're out of balance. What I was living in, I realized, was panic. Scared to death. Somebody was going to find out. But as this began to diminish, I started trying to help others. Resentment. I started praying for those that I resent. It tells us in that book. Right here on page 552. If you have a resentment you want to be free of, pray for the person, the thing that you resent, and you will be free. You're the one that gets the freedom. if you ask in prayer for everything you want for yourself to be given to them, now listen, I was going to get me a divorce. You know, I wanted what I wanted. How was I supposed to pray for him to get what I wanted? I don't think so. Ask for their health, their prosperity, and their happiness. And you will be free. And that's what we're looking for. Freedom to be who we are. Do it whether you want to do it or not. My sponsor described to me how she did it. She said, I get down on my knees and I tell God, all right, God, you said if I'd pray that prayer that I'd get over this, and you know, da-da-da-da-da, that I can't stand that SOB, but I'm going to do it anyway. She set the example for me. I had to do it. On page 553, my favorite thing in this whole book is there. The only real freedom a human being will ever know is doing what you ought to do because you want to do it. Go ahead and put your arm around that person that you think you're going to grow up. You won't, but you might think you are. This great experience that released me from the bondage of hatred and replaced it with love is really just another affirmation of the truth I know. I get everything I need in the program of whatever your addiction is. Everything I need, I get. And when I get what I need, I invariably find that's just what I wanted all the time. This great experience will free you from that. What you thought was the worst thing that could have ever happened to you turned out to be the best thing that could have ever happened. I don't know of any other way that I would have been able to find it. When we get God at the center of our life, as these things begin to grow, tolerance, patience, courage, humility, wisdom, these are all God's qualities. And these are the human qualities, and mine were out of control. Now then, what happens is, instead of living in panic, today I have a little fear. You know, I always think, you know, why did they want me to come do this, you know? My Lord, you got the queen of the OA sitting back here, Wanda. Whenever I would go and talk to her about some of my stuff, she was always so kind. I'd think, oh, I wish I could be more like that. You're the one that pointed out to me my having ADD so bad. Do you remember doing that? I walked up and asked her a question, and she was giving me the answer, and I turned around and walked off with her sitting there and went to the office because it hit my mind. I've got to set up an appointment out here to Hardin-Simmons University, so I just left her sitting there explaining to me what I'd ask her, and I go in there, and she came in there in the sweetest, kindest way and said, do you think you might have ADD? I said, well, yeah, I've always had that. Well, did you realize you just walked off and left me standing there, and you went in, came into your office? I said, well, I had to use the phone. I just remembered I've got to set up an appointment. I'm supposed to speak at Hardin-Simmons. You know, my stuff was always so much more important. Even though I'd asked her the question, and she was trying to tell me. And then I'm sitting there in the office saying, I wish I could be more like that nice lady. You are who you are. And that's all that you are. Okay. The way we get from the problem over to the solution, am I going backwards? I think so.
Yes.
Okay, let me turn the page and go the other direction. There I am, right there. The way I get from the problem into the solution is by seeing the truth about myself, which is the hardest thing for us to ever have to do. You think about it. It's easier to see our defects as it is the gifts of the Spirit. You know, because we're human. You see, we're both. If I am created in God's image and likeness, and I use this symbol because that represents my little soul. Now, if I'm created in His image and likeness, it includes all the gifts of the Spirit. Patience, tolerance, you know, being able to love other people. We have all of that. We came here with it. Now, as I told you, my little spirit came over here and found a mom and a dad. And in that, my dad, I told you, had a sweet little spirit. My mother had that tough front. She was afraid she was going to get hurt. So I emulated this one and acted like her because I too didn't want to get hurt. Now, today I can see that I had both. My mother was a very courageous woman to raise us kids, and you know, and the reason why she's married so many times is she was looking for somebody that could take care of us, somebody that had enough money to put some food on the table. And she'd get them and she'd find out within 30 days to 3 months, that's not going to work. You know, I got to think, you know, I began to view my mother as just like a prostitute. I literally reached a place where I hated her guts. And, you know, by the time before she died, thank God, our relationship healed. And I was able to see that she had that little sweet soul, too. It started with my sister having that surgery and her coming down that chapel. Me giving her the God Calling book, and she began to read it. When she died, her little stand had that book sitting right there by her chair. And I looked just because I wanted to see if she was reading it. And she'd read it, not the day before because I had just brought her from the hospital, but several days before. The reason why I went to the hospital to see about her was I called her one night and I said, "Mother, what are you doing?" She said, "Oh, I was just visiting with Mother and Daddy, but they just went to town." I said, "Mother? Mom and Daddy Potter have been dead for, you know, number of years. Well, they sure haven't. Mother's sweater's laying right in there on the bed." Then she said, "My sister and her husband had gone to the rodeo." And I thought, "Oh, she's lost her mind. Oh, my Lord. The worst thing that I've always dreaded. You know, what am I going to do?" She had tried to force me to promise her I'd never put her in a nursing home. But I got in the car and went to Post, Texas. And I got up there and she said, "Go in there and look on that bed and see if Mother's sweater's not in there." And I went in there. And of course it wasn't. But I did it to appease her. And I said, "Well, she must have taken it with her, Mother, because I've learned in working with people with ETs that you don't tell them they're not seeing what they're seeing. You just try to skirt around it, you know." Now, I told my mother that day, I said, "Mother," I put her in the hospital, and I said, "Mother, we're going to have that long, dreaded conversation. I'm on 24-hour call. I worked with hospice at the time. And so, you know, you've got to have constant care, and I can't give it." And she looked at me with a sweet smile. Thank God for that gift, because I dreaded saying those words to her worse than anything in the world. And she looked up at me and she said, "Whatever you say, baby." So I came back to Abilene, started looking at nursing home, and the next morning on my job, the phone rang, and it was this friend of my mother's. And she said, "Mary's gone." I said, you know, I was afraid she'd get off and start running around. They'd discharged her from the hospital, but I put, she said, "She died." I said, "What do you mean she died?" She said, "She died." Well, they had to break in a window to get in there, but her favorite brother, she had two brothers, her favorite brother was talking to her on the phone when she died. And, you know, who am I to say that my grandmother and my grandfather, my sister and her husband, didn't come to get it? You know, I don't know. I don't understand all that. There's so much about this life that, you know, we don't understand. But it caused me to take a second look at life. You know, she did not, and she had told me on numerous occasions, I'll show you, I'll never go to a nursing home. By golly, she didn't. So, you know, this humanness and the way that, oh, I'm back over here, excuse me. My mom and my dad, I was created in their image and likeness, first creation, second creation, and third creation. I recreated myself in the image and likeness of my addiction, addictions. You know, like I said, how many times have we stood in front of the mirror and said, what is wrong with you? What is happening to you? I don't even know who you are. The key to recovery for me has been to learn to love myself in the image and likeness, to recognize the gifts of the Spirit lives in me, to recognize that my mom and dad taught me what not to do, but before they died, they taught me what to do. Now, this third creation, if I hadn't have done this, I never would have come to the end of myself. And when I finally got here, all I could think of is I wanted to go home. Now, I thought that that would be to go back here, but really, then I decided to go back here. But see, I can't ever go back there until it's all over. What I can do is, I can find the best of me. Like I said, by repeating these acts, they become habitual, and the help rendered is natural. I am both human and spiritual. And the gifts of the Spirit came with me, just like my dad. I said he had that soft little heart. And my human body is just my vehicle. That is what brought me to be here with y'all today. Even though I'm flying down the road, driving a little bit too fast. To see, yesterday, after I said that to my daughter, I pulled this out, I fixed this for the last thing I did. And I began to look at this, and I got so excited, and I started adding things to the pages, you know, and it's a gift. And I am so glad that I'm here with y'all today, and I think it's about time for us to break to have lunch. Did you tell me?
You've still got 5 minutes.
I've always got 5 minutes. Does anybody have any questions?
Okay.
Could you read that list of the, that you said on that other chart that you were defective, or you were less in one column, and you were more in the one column that was in, but you needed to grow in other columns? Could you read that list of what that second column is?
This one?
Yes.
Okay. Self-centered?
Right, you already read that. Read the other side.
Love,
yes,
tolerance, patience, courage, humility, and wisdom.
Thank you.
And I'm sure there's, I mean, I know there's more.
Right.
But those are the ones I pulled out.
Because these were underdeveloped because I had lived in these all of my life. And it's like my sponsor tried to teach me what to do, but she showed me what to do. you know. You don't need to go to the laundry. This woman's dying. You need to get over here and go with me to do that. My first dry date, incidentally, was December the 25th of 1965. But I had to do a little bit more experimenting. It was that last one that taught me what I needed to know about addiction. I came to the end of myself. And when I came to the end of myself, I told you I wanted to go back here, but I couldn't. Today I realized that I get to come back to that little precious child before he got wounded. And I've got a little picture I'll show y'all. That shows the best picture I've ever seen. This is where I started. This is where you started. That little precious child before he got wounded and injured. And he took off in the wrong direction saying this to the world. And when you come back to yourself, you get to go ahead and love yourself for the first time. Some of you have already begin to find this little precious child. And some days I do it better than I do others. But I love this picture. So that's me and that's you. Any other questions? I've either got you so confused you can't figure out what to ask, or hopefully I explained it as best as I know. Okay? All right, then, let's start. Thank you.